Risk takers and change agents, they can be unsettling. They take us out of our comfort zones, but they are necessary to make a company or a city go beyond good and work toward great. Just as we need to not only forgive, but actually encourage risk takers who have had some failures, we need to break free from what our guest Gary Bainey calls the mediocre mentality to compete in a global and virtual economy. Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show. Today in the Great Lakes Geek Show, we're speaking with Gary Bainey. Gary is the founder and CEO of Boundless Flight. Gary, tell us about Boundless Flight.
Well, Boundless Flight is a firm that focuses strictly on software development. Anything from brochureware websites all the way up to some of the most complex software integration in large banks and logistics companies in the world. The company was started back 4 years ago on a dream that I've had since 1986, when I heard a fellow by the name of James Martin speak in Chicago on the future of technology. And when Martin was up in front of the audience in Chicago, he had a whole group of his students running around the stage, flipping charts, giving expert testimonies on technologies, and basically just augmenting his presentation. And I said to myself back then, wouldn't it be great to start a company based on former students and go back and pick the best and the brightest of those? So I've been teaching in the professor level, in the college level, since 1982. And Boundless Flight's core team is former students of mine who I've gone back and recruited.
You know, I remember seeing James Martin speak, and he's a trip because he had two overhead projectors. He was flipping back and forth and just a wild man. Have you seen him lately? Does he still do the stuff with flipping slides, or has he gone to PowerPoint or something?
No, but I'm on the board of a firm called 10 Dimensions out in Los Angeles. And on the board with me is Len Kleinrock, one of the true inventors of the internet. And Len Kleinrock was actually James Martin's professor. So I've actually kept in distant touch with Martin through Kleinrock.
Okay, now most of us in the business world would think that the ivory towers of higher education are so different and so removed from the everyday business world. What did you learn as a prof at Case and Weatherhead and your whole college career that you use in your everyday business?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more that most academia is out of touch with the challenges of the daily business world. As a matter of fact, I think one of the distinct characteristics of my teaching was the inclusion of actual business projects in my coursework, whether it be an intro to Java development with website development for a local company in Cleveland, or, you know, an advanced database course where I put students in charge of doing normalization on a mission-critical project at Safety Clean Corporation back in Chicago. Students got actual real-time business experience in my classes. This also became a little bit of a rub over at Case, because I was told by the head of the department at the time at Weatherhead that the practical experience I was giving my students was introducing the school to risk, and that the school necessarily didn't want to be out there using students to do real work for real corporations. The department chair and I had a fairly interesting discussion over that topic that lasted for about a month, and at the end of it, I continued on my path. But there was always a raised eyebrow watching carefully what we were doing and who we were doing it with. Kind of interesting.
Now, you've been all over the world, way beyond your Vietnam service, but recently you did a keynote in China, and Boundless Flight has offices all over. How do you see Cleveland's tech scene comparing with some of the other cities you've been in? Where are we doing things right? Where are we missing the boat?
Well, software development is a virtual process. Let me make that statement right up front. I do not believe that software development is any longer constrained to butts and chairs, whether they be full-time employees, part-time employees, contractors, long-term or short-term. When a company wants software development done, the process should now be done virtually. It should be managed locally, but the work can be done anywhere. So Boundless Flight is not limited to Cleveland, Dan. We are not. We have offices in Philadelphia, Mobile, Alabama, Chicago, Illinois, Denver, Colorado, and Los Angeles. We'll be opening an office in Texas during the month of September 06. And we also have offices in China, in Beijing, Kunming, and Hangzhou. We have software engineers writing code for local companies in Cleveland from literally all over the world. We even have someone we're bringing in from Romania now as an intern. She'll be working with us for about 6 months, and then we'll be sending her back to Romania to start a think tank there of developers, development teams that we can use here in the United States. Cleveland is adopting this concept more slowly than other major cities in the United States. Cities like Chicago, even Mobile, Alabama, one of the companies we write software for is Shapura Software. And Shapura is even firmly entrenched in the concept of global software marketing, as well as using global resources to do their development. They get it. And companies in Cleveland are just kind of coming around slowly to this. We see National City Bank and Key Bank and a few others doing some international outsourcing. But overall, the trend is moving more slowly here than elsewhere in the United States.
Do you have any idea why that might be so, why we're moving more slowly?
Well, the core business mentality of Cleveland is still a manufacturing mentality. And that manufacturing mentality just changes more slowly. They always viewed, the people in the manufacturing industry always viewed the offshore resources, whether it be, you know, making the toys that go inside Cracker Jack boxes or writing software for non-mission critical applications, they always viewed them as a threat. And instead of proactively and constructively and creatively thinking how to use these resources to gain competitive advantage, we sit in fear and we are immobilized and we don't know what to do in order to take advantage of the opportunities. And again, Cleveland's changing. It's coming around, but it's coming around slowly.
You're working on a pretty cool project now with international logistics. Tell us about that.
Well, the logistics industry is one of the fastest growing industries in the world. If you just think for just a minute of the fact that Walmart accounts for 3% of China's gross national product, it's staggering. Over 50% of the world's population lives within 500 miles of Hong Kong. And it manufactures, that same group manufactures over 70% of the world's goods. Logistics, getting a product from point A to point B, is an enormously complex industry. Some of our top customers over the years are experts in the international logistics community and have included Boundless Flight in a number of very, very interesting projects. One of them is the development of a intracultural logistics portal, which will be truly, and when I say this, it's based on the concept of tokenization of thoughts as opposed to the use of words, it will be truly language independent. So a person in China can sit and make a request for a shipment detail to get a super sack of product from Hangzhou, China to Chicago, Illinois, and all the detail for that transaction will be communicated to them in Chinese, but then when they send out a fax to the corporation that they actually want to place the order in to get the product on the barge to go from New Orleans up to Chicago, that fax will be sent in English. And this is reality. We've got some of the top minds that have come from some of the largest search engine technology companies in the world working on this, and it's reality. You're very soon going to see language independence as a normal part of logistics transactions through this company. Boundless Flight is a stockholder in the company out in Los Angeles, and we're pretty excited. Next 5 years are going to be very exciting.
That almost sounds like science fiction.
And my Trio 700 seemed like science fiction 10 years ago, too.
Okay, you've got three offices in China. What are you doing with the Chinese offices?
Well, we've got a principal there. Boundless Flight is actually now a Chinese company. So Boundless Flight is not just an American corporation. We are now Chinese registered as well. Zhao Dong Yang, who's one of my students at Case Western Reserve University, went over and opened our office a year ago, August. And we're just tremendously excited there. We've got CMM Level 3 developers in Java, .NET, all languages of .NET, as well as PHP and a number of other platforms. But we've got a lot of tremendously interesting business opportunity coming out of China right now. We don't limit ourselves in our China presence to just software development. When Katrina hit New Orleans last year, we had a printing company who had their facilities destroyed call us and say, you know, we're stuck. This came just from personal reference. You know, we're stuck. I've got a commitment to this company in New York. There's financial penalties involved in the commitment. How do I get this job out? So we contacted our group over in China, and they said, yeah, we've got local printers here in China who can actually handle a print job. It was about 40,000 pieces. So they sent the digital images over to China. They printed all the work there, overnighted the work from China directly to his customer in New York. And even with the shipping costs and everything, the project saved him 40% of his original cost estimates. And that was running his own internal print shop. Now, what's interesting about this whole thing is, this guy now, his business destroyed in New Orleans, goes to Texas and sets up a completely virtual print shop and has more than doubled his business since we came to know him right in just the last year by doing virtual printing in China and shipping everything overnight to his customer base. Now, there's certain print jobs that are too small for him to do that with, so he'll turn those down or job those out. But the larger jobs, man, he's doing really well. You know, here's a guy who just had his business destroyed by Katrina, and he didn't take no for an answer. He sought out some answers. He found a really good solution in China, and now it's completely changed his entire business and his entire profit line.
So now we have not just global opportunities and competition, but the combination of global and virtual opportunities and competition to deal with. How can a local traditional company compete with this?
Dan, we've got to learn to get hungry, and we've got to learn to work hard. It's just that simple. When I went to China the very first time, I made a presentation at the Chinese University of Hong Kong. I really didn't know what to expect when I met the Chinese people. But I found a people who are just as hungry and as energetic for success as Americans are. I think there's this mentality we have that the Chinese are rural and backward, and that Chairman Mao's program put them back 40, 50, 60 years. I can tell you something. The average Chinese family wants a nice car. They want their children in nice schools. They want their children to go to a good college, and they want a nice retirement. They want exactly the same thing that the average American family wants, and they're willing to work very, very hard and be very, very industrious about getting it. So we are experiencing true global competition. No, it's not a whole mass of immigrants coming into the United States and feeding our government tax pool here. Instead, it's workers working overseas who are just as hungry for success as we are. This raises the bar for the American worker, whether they be a knowledge worker or manufacturing. It raises that bar, and we've got to learn to compete.
You have a tagline on your emails. It's a quote from Einstein, and it says, "Great spirits have always encountered violent opposition from mediocre minds." You know, of all the quotes out there in the world, you chose this one for the tagline in your email. Tell us why, and is it based on something where you personally have encountered this kind of opposition?
I've been here in Cleveland since March of 1995. I came here with IBM Global Services from Chicago on a project with KeyBank, and I kind of stuck. I have never, I've never really fit well into Cleveland. I have a very intense work ethic. I work very hard. I also live hard. I'm from the old Vietnam days. I mean, you play hard, you work hard. When you get a break, you play hard. And Cleveland seems to attract and retain and like people who have a much more mediocre approach to living life. Yeah, this is a tagline that I've been using now for 2 years intentionally to make a statement for many of my compatriots here in Cleveland to want to take the middle road. I have a very, very good friend in a large corporation here in Cleveland that I've known since I got here, literally walked off the plane on the first visit. And he reminds me all the time that he is very, very, very content just to be a middle manager in a large corporation, and that he doesn't need innovation, he doesn't need professional growth, he doesn't need those type of things to have a satisfying life. Cleveland needs to learn to absorb people who do need excitement and do need an entertaining lifestyle much more readily, or it's not going to learn to grow. I think of Larry Ellison walking the streets of Cleveland, and you know, Larry used to literally race the police to his office every morning, and if they could catch him, then they could give him a ticket. And when he would pull into the garage, he'd hit his clicker and bring the garage door down, and the police would have to go into the office and beg to get him. And it was a joke. It was so funny. Can you imagine a Larry Ellison in Cleveland, you know, racing at 110 miles an hour every morning in his Porsche, and having the, you know, three city cops chasing him behind, and having that as fun as opposed to, a grievous civil violation? We don't attract those kinds of people. We don't attract people who are industry changers. We attract people who like the traffic flows, who like the good schools, and who like the mediocre mentality of Cleveland.
It sounds like you're a buy-in to the whole good is the enemy of great philosophy that is pretty trendy with the business press now.
Well, I listen, no corporation ever becomes a change agent in its industry and lasts for any length of time by taking a low road approach. It doesn't happen, Dan. You can have the best idea in the world, but if you don't push it and use that idea to stimulate change, then what's the benefit to humanity? And we're very, very content in Cleveland to be good, maybe good enough at times, but we're not addicted to excellence here. We're just not. We're not addicted to change. And if Cleveland's going to turn around, there are going to have to be some people who are going to be readily accepted here that are risk takers, that are change agents, and that want to do things differently tomorrow than they were doing them today. I used to tell my students when they were taking computer science, if you run the same old line of code 18 times and you get the same results 18 times and those results are always wrong, there's no use running that the 19th time. Stop. Change it. Something you're doing is wrong. You've got to learn to change to get different results. If Cleveland wants different results, it's got to bring in different people.
Well, today we've been speaking with one of those risk takers and change agents, Gary Bainey, the CEO and founder of Boundless Flight. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you, Dan.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.